Well, this morning we are about to have a time of baptisms. That's what this is for. And it's really an exciting time for us. It really is. I genuinely feel that these are my favorite Sundays. We have one celebration Sunday in December. We have one in May. And these are my absolute favorite weeks of the year because we get to see how God has moved powerfully in the lives of young or old men and women here in our midst, how he has raised the dead to new life. And this is a time where we get to just marvel at what the Lord has done. And it's also a time where that's really loaded with significance and symbolic meaning. When I was driving one of our kids to football practice just a few months ago, we randomly had this conversation. My son brought up this question. He says, "Hey, I was just thinking about that, you know, that movie that we had watched, and this thing kind of happened." And I'm like, "Which one?" He's like, "Well, there's a princess and like a bad guy." I was like, "Oh yeah, Princess Bride, right?" So my wife and I, one of our favorite things is we've been slowly introducing our kids to these movies, these stories that we loved as children. And so we had watched Princess Bride, and my son had, you know, some follow-up questions. I'm like, "Is it the smooching? You know, like, what is it? What are we about to get into?" And he was like, "Hey," he's like, I was just kind of thinking about like how, you know, that guy, he drank poison." I was like, yeah, I know. He's a Sicilian who was too full of himself. Classic Sicilian, am I right? But I was like, yeah, he was overconfident. He got into this battle of wits and he drank some poison, unfortunately, and that was his end. But my son was like, "Well, yeah." He's like, "So he drank that poison." He's like, "So he, was he like, was he like really dead?" I was like, "Yeah, well, the character, yeah, he like died or was paralyzed or something. We don't see him for the rest of the movie." He's like, "No, but like in real life, like he was dead, right?" And I realized in that moment, oh my gosh, my son thinks he has witnessed a murder on screen. I was like, no, he's not really dead. He's like, "Oh, so it was like fake put." And I was like, "Oh my God." And it started this long conversation where we were having to kind of walk back through stories and shows and movies where I was like, "Yeah, none of those people are really dead." And he was like, "Oh, that's so good to know." And I'm like, "Yeah, holy moly, bro. Like, I'm sorry that you thought that we were, oh, wow." Like, it just made me question everything, right? Because in that moment, I realized, wow, he's been watching these things. He's been a part of these experiences, these storytelling moments, and he has had the really wrong person. Like, he did not understand what was taking place. I needed to bring clarity into those situations. I needed to shine a light of understanding on what was taking place. And the truth is that many times we come to these kind of pivotal moments, these really sacred practices in our church, things like baptism, and we're not actually all on the same page. We might not all have the same understanding of what is really taking place, of what's really happening. Why has the Lord given us baptism? And so before we get to these baptisms, I'm going to just lay out four key kind of symbolic representations, four key principles of baptism, of why we baptize, the way that we do it, why we baptize and say the things that we say. Like, what exactly is being symbolized? And this isn't an exhaustive list of why the Lord has instituted baptism for his church, but this is just a few pieces, some of the core pieces of why we practice baptisms. Now, one of the key things about baptism is that we use water. All right, this tub, you can't see it because you're just looking at plastic, but this isn't a mud bath. It's not, you know, filled with Orbi beads. Like, this is water. Whoa, right, there it is. And it's warm. Praise the Lord. And so that is something that is traditional, something that all churches, all believers everywhere, they use water for baptism. Why? Because baptism, one element that it is symbolizing is the cleansing of God's people, the forgiveness that we receive because of our faith in Jesus Christ, right? We just studied the book of Acts this fall, and you might remember in Acts chapter 2, Peter gives this amazing sermon to all these gathered Jews on the day of Pentecost. And he tells them that they have rejected Jesus Christ, but now they should receive him. This is what he says in verse 38 of chapter 2. He says, I need you to repent and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And so in verse 41, we're told that those who accepted his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were added to the church. Peter tells these Jews back in the day, like shortly after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, he says, you have missed the point. You missed the mark. Just like your ancestors did, how they would persecute and reject the prophets of God. He says, you have rejected the Messiah, the chosen one. So he says, my charge to you, my command, my call is that you should repent, meaning you should turn from your wrongful belief. You should turn away from your rejection of Christ as Messiah, and you should believe in what he has done. Believe that he is the one who has paid the price that you incurred. Believe that he is the one with the power to bring forgiveness of your sin, to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And be baptized, right? Mark your faith. Mark this decision. Mark this acceptance of the message by symbolically being cleansed of your sin. That's why we use water, because it's the cleansing forgiveness of Christ that's made available for all who believe in him. Right? For anyone who trusts in his name, for anyone who calls on him, might be saved. We no longer have to live under the penalty of sin. We no longer have to live under the shadow of death, but instead, for those of us that believe in Christ's life, death, resurrection, his return, we can now be adopted out of sin, out of death, and brought into the family of God as sons and daughters of the Lord Most High. We are cleansed of our wrongdoing. The Lord looks at us and he sees the righteousness of Christ given to us as a free gift by grace through faith in him. That's why we use water. We also, here at Southwood, we practice the tradition of full immersion of baptism. And the reason that we do this, the reason that someone comes up here and gets all the way submerged and all the way back up, sometimes we miss a little part of their forehead, but that's all right. But the reason that we do that is because it is also a symbol of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. See, in Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about this power of resurrection. He talks about how as we've been united with Christ in his death, we're also united with him in his resurrection. We're told this in 6 verse 4. He says, therefore, we believers in Christ, right? We, those of us that have trusted in him, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may live a new life. Baptism doesn't just symbolize this purification and cleansing. It symbolizes a resurrection power. The fact that we die to our old ways, we rise again to new life because Jesus Christ is the one who died and rose first. And so we follow him. We are joined with him in this resurrection power of God the Father. We also have someone actually perform the baptism. Right, I feel a little strange this year. This is our first celebration Sunday where I'm not actually doing any of the like dunking. Like I'm not doing any of that, and that's great. Like it's weird, but I'm so great with it because it means that we have parents, we have mentors, we have other pastors even on staff that are a part of this work that are performing these baptisms. But every single person that comes up here to be baptized, none of them are just kind of sitting in the tub and be like, all right, see you guys in a second. Like none of them are baptizing themselves. Why? Because baptism is not just a sign of purification, not just a sign of resurrection, but it's also a sign of surrender and humility. Jesus himself was baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a lot of issues, like he had a lot of hesitations in the front end. Like when he sees Jesus comes up and Jesus is like, yeah, you're gonna baptize me. John's like, whoa, 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 I'm not. I can't do that, right? Like, he's like, that's too much. It's not my place. But Jesus says, no, you have to baptize me that we might fulfill the righteousness of the Lord, that we might fulfill the promises of God. This is necessary because Jesus was, in a sense, he was giving us a pattern to follow, a model to adopt of submission, of saying, I'm coming to you in humility, not to John, but in humility to the Lord and the Father's will for his beloved son, Jesus Christ. In the same way, we have people that you are baptized by another person, by a spiritual leader or a parent or a sibling, whoever it might be. And we do it because it is a mark of humility, of surrender to the Lord. That's what baptism signifies. It also finally symbolizes not just the purification and the resurrection power of Christ. It doesn't just symbolize and mark our submission, our surrender to the Lord, but it is also a mark of unity. Not just humility, but of unity. You see, believers in the book of Acts, right? So from like day one of the church all the way till now, we've always practiced the tradition, the ordinance of baptism. It is something that unifies the body of Christ. It's something that unifies the church, capital C, church. Because we recognize that ultimately, life is not about Southwood. Church is not about Grace Bible or Central Baptist or Antioch or whatever. Like, it's, church is not just about these local manifestations. Church, capital C, church, belongs to the Lord. We are collectively the body of Christ, and we are unified in that saving power by grace through faith in him. And this is why we have baptism. And so this morning, here at the 9 o'clock, we have 7 different individuals that are getting baptized. And that's amazing. And we have 7 more in the 11. If you want to stick around, it'll be great, right? But we have 7 people getting baptized. And so to start us off this morning, we have Matthew Vernon, who is going to be coming up with at least his dad, maybe others. And Ben Biles is coming up. And they're going to kick us off on our baptisms this morning.
Exactly like Jacob said, I love this because like we've said a few times already, this is Celebration Sunday, so we're going to actually celebrate when these people get dunked in the water. Kids, I'm counting on you out there. These adults, they're a little quieter than they used to be, so we're going to cheer, we're going to celebrate with them. And as Matthew's getting in the tub, one of my favorite things, now, we got to meet earlier about 2 weeks ago, and I was getting to know Matthew, and I asked Matthew, what are just some things you like to do? What are your hobbies? And he said, well, I like playing basketball and asking Jesus into my heart. And I said, you can't get better than that. So here's his father.
Well, good morning, Grace. I'm Andrew Vernon. This is my wife, Casey. And yes, as you heard earlier, this is our son, Matthew. Very proud of him and his decision. The scripture that we chose to share this morning for this is from Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And Matthew, we are so proud of you, and we know that God's going to do great things through you. Matthew, do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then it is on your profession of faith that I'm proud to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right, you guys did good. That was great. Thanks, Matthew. Next up, we're going to have Ella Ray Robinson. Ella Ray Robinson and her father, James, and their family. We got some real young people this morning. It's really amazing to see these kids stepping up into not only this moment, but being able to proclaim their faith outwardly in the midst of this big room. This is impressive. So here's her dad.
Morning. The verse we chose was Psalm 28:7. The Lord strengthens and protects me. I trust in him with all my heart. I am rescued and my heart is full of joy. I will sing to him in gratitude. So, Ella Ray, with your love and profession of Jesus, I now baptize you.
Gracie Looper and her dad, Matt. You can notice we gave the kids their own baptism shirt to be baptized in. And it says on the very front of it, I don't know if you can tell, it says, never the same, which is what we want to communicate to these kids, but also every single person that takes this step, that Jesus, through his death and resurrection, when we believe in that, we are never the same. That transformation takes root in us, and we are, even from a young age, never the same again. So here's her dad, Matt.
Good morning again, everybody. So my wife and I discussed a little bit, and I'm going to read a little bit of the story for Gracie over these last couple months, okay? So Gracie has grown up knowing about Jesus in our household. We've talked about him constantly, okay? And it seems like she's always believed in him and known that he's real. But over the last, I'd say, 6 months, something has changed, and that she started to really understand who Jesus is and what he's done for us and just our need that we have for him in our lives. So an easy example is one day she was reciting John 3:16, right? Does it all the time for Awana. And like a million times before, she is reciting it, but this time she slowed down and was actually breaking apart the verse bit by bit. And, you know, you could see the wheels kind of turning in her head, and that she's understanding what it truly means to really be loved by Jesus, all right? And so God so loved the world so much that he sent Jesus, and because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, whoever believes in him will spend eternity in heaven with him and not die, because our sins are forgiven. And we remember that one night she came out reading her Bible and was like, wow, there are really good stories in here. And she even came out and was like, we need to read this more and more and more. So when she came out and told us that, we just started praying with her and asking her what she felt like God was wanting her to do. And she was telling us that she felt like, I think God's telling me he wants me to be baptized. And so we're really excited for her today that she's being obedient and following in that next step of faith. And for her verse that she decided to pick out, she's a little bit nervous being in front of people, so I'm going to read it for her. It's Philippians 1:6, all right? And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion, and at that day of Jesus Christ. So because of your public profession today, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay?
Well, Jack Forrester and his father, Blair.
Eleven plus years ago, we were blessed with a child that he's just always been on fire for the Lord. He's always loved coming to church. He's always just really enjoyed learning about Jesus. This past summer at Pine Cove, he prayed the prayer with his counselor. He took that profession of faith, and he immediately started asking us to be baptized. So here we are today. He picked out a verse that he would like to read.
The verse is Psalms 103, 10 through 11, which says, "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him."
And based on your profession of faith, it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next up, we have Kaylee Beecham and her father, Caleb.
Good morning. My name is Caleb Beecham, that's Pax, who's trying to steal the show. It's my wife, Bree and Adeline, and this is Kaylee Ray. And Kaylee, I love you so much. I'm so proud of you, and both your mom and I are so proud of you. And as I was thinking about baptizing you all week and praying about it, I couldn't help but think of another day, a day that was really good and really tough, because 12 and a half years ago, you were born, and I was sitting in an operating room in a hospital. And it was really difficult because the first couple moments of your life, and you already know this, but I'm letting them know, it didn't look like you were going to make it. And you were surrounded by all kinds of doctors. I couldn't even see you. And I remember in that moment praying that God, please save Kaylee and give her life. And today's a really special day, Kaylee, because remember that God is so big and so kind and so loving that he actually answered that prayer twice. And so, Kaylee, I know that when you were 10, God didn't just save you when you were born, but when you were 10, you gave your life to him, and you repented of your sins, and he made you new. And so I know that you wrote some things down that you wanted to read, so you hold that.
Well, like Dad said, when I was 10, I learned about Jesus, and it felt real to me. I repented of my sins, and Jesus forgave me. I want to show everyone that the old me is dead, and the new me that is alive, and I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and that he died for my sins on the cross. I'll follow Jesus for the rest of my life and look for to him for help.
Very good. And so, Kaylee, because of your profession of faith, it's my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we have Layla Huff and her father, Jeremy.
Howdy, folks. Oh, yeah, that's where I'm at. I cry when other people are doing this, so I have a very small chance of getting through this without crying, but my name is Jeremy Huff. I'm here with my daughter, Layla, and she has selected a verse, which one of us is going to read. I'm going to read. This is Jesus' response to a question from the Pharisees. He replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So let's do that. Layla, because of your profession of faith, it is my privilege as your earthly father to baptize you in the name of our Heavenly Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we have Luke Jennings and his father, Blake.
This is my son, Luke Jennings, my wife, Julie, and my daughter, Grace. It's my privilege to get to baptize my son this morning. So, Luke, why do you want to be baptized today?
I want to publicly display my faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and rose again.
Now, Luke, you chose a passage that's really meaningful to you to commemorate today. Do you want to read that passage?
I chose Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive each other if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. But above all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Luke, have you placed your faith in Jesus as your Savior and trusted in his death and resurrection?
Yes.
Then it's my privilege to get to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Well, last but certainly not least is Trey Lahan, and he is a college student. So I don't want you to get confused. I'm going to baptize him. I'm not his dad. Like the last seven, he has another dad somewhere, or he is his only dad somewhere, somewhere in this world. So I set you up really well for this. Here's Trey's story.
So about 2 years ago, I was attending a church service back in my hometown in Brenham. When I heard the preacher giving the sermon, he made a comment that the Bible was just like any other story in the sense that it tells one story from beginning to end. And that really kind of stuck out to me because I'd gone to church my whole life and I'd never heard anybody put it that way. So I got home and I started reading from Genesis, and it took me about a year just to get through the Old Testament. But through the Old Testament, I began to feel the burden of my sin. I love God, and I tried my absolute best to keep the law, but I felt like the harder I tried, the more I sinned, and I was really burdened by that and discouraged. And it all changed one night when I read Matthew 5:17, where Jesus says he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish the law. And in that moment, I just felt the burden of my sin lifted from my shoulders, and I'm here today to make a public proclamation of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Well, Trey, based on your profession of faith, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, that's it for baptism. This morning, we, in continuation of our celebration of this season, are going to hear from the Reed family and the importance of Advent candles this morning. So I'm going to invite the Reed family up here, and here they are.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ethan Reed, and this is my wife, Haley. To start, today we're going to be talking about the city of Bethlehem, where David was born, and the chosen birthplace of his descendant, Jesus Christ. Even though the tribe of Judah thought the city of Bethlehem was small and insignificant, the Messiah was born there. Through this, we see the humility of Christ's first coming, and we expect to see the second coming to be with great power. God uses what others would disregard for his glory. We can trust that one day God will rule his kingdom with peace and righteousness. Haley is going to be reading from Micah 5.
Micah 5:2 says, "As for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, seemingly insignificant among the clans of Judah, From you a king will emerge, who will rule over Israel on my behalf, one whose origins are in the distant past. And then Micah 5:5 says, he will give us peace should the Assyrians try to invade our land and to attempt to set foot in our fortresses. We will send against them 7 shepherd rulers, make that 8 commanders.
Please bow your heads and join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the testimony of the people who are baptized today, Lord. Lord, I pray for peace and righteousness for today and everyone in the world who believes in following you, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray for your return. And as we are expecting and eager to see you come, Lord, that you would give us peace as we walk through today. In Jesus' name, amen.